Thank you. So I trained in London at Spurgeon's College, founded by the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a Baptist training college. I was there eons ago. But he was once asked, Spurgeon, what two tips have you got for preachers? He trains all these preachers in the college. And he said, I always tell them, preach about God and preach about 20 minutes. So that's what I am aiming for. And I was talking to Nick about what I should speak on coming here. And he was saying that you've got some new vision and values and stuff. Is that right? And I said, oh, I could maybe bring a Baptist interpretation into that. And we were going to go with that. And then God spoke to me and said, actually, this is the week of Christian unity. This is a week of prayer for Christian unity. Speak about Christian unity. So that's what I'm going to do. But I'm starting off. I've got three things to say, really. The first one is to say we need Christ. Before we get on to talk about unity and other Christians, we need Christ. This is first and foremost what we are about. We need him. And if we think we can live without him, we are mistaken and we are wrong. And it's not about church attendance. You know, it's great that you're here this morning. And as a minister, it's dangerous when I say church attendance is not that important. Of course, it is. But it's not the be-all and end-all. We need Christ. If we attend church but have not yet found Christ, we still have something that we're needing and we're desperate for, actually. And we want to live in our own strength, but we can't because we need Christ. And it's not about where we live, our nationality either. It's not important that we're born in Britain, which traditionally was a Christian country. Of course, our nationalities are important. I'm Welsh. And Welsh is the language of heaven, of course. And so it is important, but it's not that important, really. Our heritage is not that important. Where we've come from, significant to us maybe, but it's not that important. And it's not really about our family history and traditions either. It doesn't count that we've been born into a Christian family. That's a great privilege and a wonderful thing. And it's great to see children here worshiping and praising. And the start that they've been given is great. But actually, it's about their own faith as well. We all need Christ, and we need that personal encounter with him where we recognize him as Lord and Savior. So I wanted to get that out there in the open, because first and foremost, we are about Christ. We need Christ. And from my experience, it's not enough to say that I recognized that 25 years ago, 30 years ago, however long it was, and I became a Christian. It's not enough for that. I needed him then to forgive me of my sins. I was baptized, aged about 16. And then that's not enough to say that was okay. That's done and dusted. I need Christ every day, every hour, every minute of every day. Because without him, we cannot live the life that we're expected to. Part of the script that we went out into the precinct and around the town with yesterday, by the way, I have to say, I found it more challenging than Jeremy did. And but it's great that so many people were willing to go and try and be vulnerable and be open in spreading the good news about Jesus. I'll come back to that later. Where was I? I often do this. I get confused and forget what I am. We need Christ. And in the script yesterday, it talks about God loves you and has got an amazing plan for your life, an awesome plan for your life. And that's why we need to stay with Christ. We need Christ first. Secondly, we need Christians. We need other Christians. Now, I know that lots of Christians actually quite like to live in sort of splendid isolation. And think that actually, as long as I say my prayers, come to church, to receive the communion, I'm okay. I can live with that. I don't need all this other stuff, small groups, prayer partners, or whatever else the church might offer. I'm okay. I don't need all those things. Actually, you know, we do need other Christians. We need one another. And so it's why Jesus created church in the first place. He said, I want you to do this. I want you to walk this journey, this path, being my disciples together. I don't want you to do it in splendid isolation. I want you to do it with other people. And so I'm here today to encourage unity amongst Christians. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean between the churches in the town, although I'll get onto that in a minute. But it means about building community amongst Christians. You here, the body of Christ here at St. James's, need one another. You need to be in relationship with one another. And I think that was one of the words that we had as we were praying before, is about this relationship. My biggest disappointment is when people who have been faithful Christians somehow, for some reason, turn away from Christ and they do not attend church. They're not relational with other Christians. And the fact is, they've never really built strong relationships with anybody else. And so when those difficult times come in their lives, they've got nobody to help them work through those difficult times. Their relationship with God is somehow is not strong enough, and it's not fleshed out by the people around and about them that help them through those difficult times. And so I want to say we need other Christians. We need to be together. So why am I talking about this? The main text that I wanted to bring was from John chapter 13, and just two verses where Jesus, at the table, the Last Supper, says in John 13, 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the message. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. You need to love one another so that everybody will see how much you love one another. And the phrase that I was especially reminded of is when the Romans looked at the early church in those first couple of hundred years. Tertullian, who was a theologian in the second century, he says, the Romans look at the church and they say, see how they love one another. And where the church, the Christians who were in Rome, especially at that time, they had lived their lives seeking wealth and glory and prosperity for themselves. And when they came to Christ, they brought everything they had to the common table and said, right, who needs what? And their perspectives were completely transformed and changed. And this is how Tertullian says, the Romans hate each other and they're all fighting and trying to get on top and be the best. And the Christians love one another. And it made such a dramatic impact in that community. And this is what we need amongst us. We need to show how we love one another. And this is not always easy, is it? And churches together in Downton when I was there, we struggled a bit, to be, if I'm honest. And the relationship between the Baptist church and the Anglican church, there was only one in the village, was not always good. We did work together. We did youth work together. And the vicar and I always went out for lunch once a month in the pub in the village, which was great. But some of the people, there was one church warden especially, who felt that we were somehow competing. And where we were gaining new people and children coming to holiday clubs and all of this sort of stuff, they felt that we were pinching their people somehow. This is our parish, and what do you think you're doing with all these people? And it was a challenge. And so you have to break through some of those things. And I think Yinka said yesterday here, before we went out on this outreach, we are not in competition with one another. We are to love one another and be working together in these things. Oh, come back to that. I'm excited about that. So I come from South Wales. Did I mention that already? In South Wales, we had a wonderful Welsh revival. Of course, you know all about that. But one of the legacies of the Welsh revival is we've got churches everywhere. And nowadays, they are used as carpet warehouses. People have bought them for their own houses. And often in a village, I remember in this lovely village, Julie will remember, Aberbargoid it was. and there were two Baptist churches. It wasn't a very big place, but in the revival times, they needed two Baptist churches. And now there's one at each end of the village, and now there's about three people in that one and four people in this one. And somebody went there and said, well, why don't you come together and sell one of the buildings? You could do so much in mission with the money and stuff. Oh, couldn't possibly do that. This is where we, you know, we, our heritage, we were brought up here. We came to faith here. We couldn't possibly lose all of that. There's a story of a man who was shipwrecked. I think he must have been Welsh. And he found himself on a desert island on his own. And he was there for years and years. And when they eventually found him, he'd created a little village for himself. And he had like the post office and the pub and two churches. And they said, well, why have you got two churches? You've always got to have a chapel you don't go to, he says. That's the one I wouldn't enter. I'll tell you one more story about this, and I'll forget about Wales. When I first started preaching, before I went to train for ministry, got invited to go and speak at this little church. There were about 20 or 30 people there. And they were Welsh-speaking. We were in an area that wasn't Welsh-speaking, and I don't speak Welsh apart a little bit, which is actually coming back into the valleys of South Wales now, which is great, but I didn't speak Welsh. So we went to this church, and they knew I didn't speak Welsh, so they said, because you don't speak Welsh, we're going to be, what's that word? What is it? No, not translating. They weren't that generous. Accommodating, that's the word. We're going to be accommodating today, and we're going to sing one of the hymns in English. Well, thank you very much. And so here were these little group of 20 people, proud of their Welsh heritage, keeping the Welsh language alive in their church. But nobody in the town around spoke Welsh. So what did they think they were doing? I don't know. Anyway, so we need one another. I'm trying to get this across. In this climate that we are in today, I think even more than ever, we need one another. Christian church is continuing to shrink in the United Kingdom. Not worldwide, it's growing in many other parts of the world, which is fantastic. More Christians now than ever before. But in our islands, the church is shrinking still. And we need one another. We're going to need to support one another and work together even more. I said to Jeremy before the interview, I said, I'll probably say what I want to say in my sermon, in my interview. So if it's all getting mixed up, forgive me for that. But I'm just passionate about this working together business. And I'm so pleased that we've been able to do that and do this today. New loyalties, that's what I want to say. We need new loyalties. Again, you know, when I was brought up in the Baptist church in South Wales, you were loyal to that church and actually to that denomination. And so if people moved towns, they would look for the Baptist church in that town. And I'm sure it's exactly the same with the Anglican community. But I believe God is saying to us, we need new loyalties and different loyalties, actually. And it's not necessarily to denominations. It's more about loyalties to one another, working together in towns and communities. How am I doing for time, Jeremy? 2 minutes? 5 minutes, okay. I've got time for one more story then. So Billy Graham is a famous Baptist, of course, and he's in McDonald's in some city in America. And a guy bursts in with a gun and says, everybody, hands up, it's a robbery, get your wallets out on the table. So everybody gets their wallets out on the table. And this guy recognizes Billy Graham and he says, it's okay, Billy, put yours back in your pocket. He said, we Baptists must stick together. So we need new loyalties. Those old loyalties just are not going to cut it for us if we want to win this country back for Jesus Christ. And that's my third point, really. So first is we need Christ above all. Secondly, we need other Christians in our own relationships to keep our faith going, but also across the churches. And the reason we need to do that is because, thirdly, we need to tell other people about Jesus and the good news. We need to be good news and speak good news. So we need to model that so that people will look at us and say, see how they love one another. What have they got that we haven't? What is different about their lives? And that's a massive challenge for us, because in order for that to happen, we actually have to share our lives with those who don't yet know about him. We can't keep in our holy huddles. We have to go and live with people who as yet do not know who he is. And sometimes that means going to places where we will find uncomfortable. One of the things I did at Downton in my early days there, they had a lovely little family church. It was about 50 people when I got there. And they met together in house groups. They all knew each other. It was lovely. And I said, you need to stop going to one of your church meetings each week and go and join something in the community, the bowls club or the tennis club or the sewing club, and go and join one of those places where you don't know anybody and start living out your faith in the community. Well, they didn't like that very much. Some of them really tried it actually and came back to me and said, it's really hard. Those people in the tennis club are not very nice. And I said, well, go and be good news to them. And I did it in the cricket club in the town. I haven't got time for that story. So we need to let people know. So we need to live it out. And we need, when we have the opportunity, to speak about good news. To speak about how Jesus is our Savior. He is the only one that can free us and redeem us, set us free from sin, and offer us a future with full eternity, full salvation. He's the only one that can do that. We need to speak it out and share it. And whether it's using a script that I found really quite uncomfortable yesterday, or whether it's gossiping the gospel and chatting to people that we know, we just need to do it. We've talked about it for so long. We just need to be doing it. And you know what? We are better when we do it together. When we are doing that in relationship with other people and across the churches, and we are saying, I don't care about my own little empire. We want to build the kingdom of God. I don't really care whether these people come to the Baptist church when they're saved off the streets of Woodley, or whether they come to St. James's, or whether they go to any of our churches, because I think they're all pretty good, actually. I don't really care, but let's see people one to Jesus, and we are better equipped to do that when we do it together. That's enough. Thank you.